Hello, everybody. We're going to do something a little bit silly today. If you've been listening, then you know our season 2, episode 1 commentary got a little messed up for many, many reasons. There was a little bit of technical issue, and even for us, we just could not stay on topic. And so you know that, again, if you listen to us, that if I'm saying it was too off topic, then holy crap, what were we talking about? Well, we did talk about the Wheel of Time a little bit, so some of that has been preserved, but instead of interspersing it with season one audio, I've decided to intersperse it with Kevin Smith View Askewniverse audio, just to have a little bit of fun. I've decided to resurrect this episode for a couple reasons. One, I wanted whatever we did have to say about episode one to get to air. And it's just been a crazy week and a crazy month at the end of a crazy season. You know, it started with season two getting released, which is awesome, awesome news. But that really tightens up my schedule. You know, instead of being able to get weeks or maybe even months ahead, we're on a week-to-week schedule, which kind of grinds on me a little bit. And then it's the beginning of the school year. I got kids. Justin and Jeremy had some personal stuff going on. And then mine all came to a head last week when my dog had to have major, major surgery. He is recovering very well. He is doing amazing. He's got a sweet new zipper going all the way up his belly. But it's all ending on a high note, but it got pretty bottlenecked. And so we're behind on recordings. And instead of trying to cram another recording in, I've decided to resurrect this one and have some fun with it. I hope you enjoy it. You know, it's Thanksgiving week or whatever you call it. You know, hopefully you got a little bit of time off. Maybe you need a break from the family. You need a laugh. Check this out. You know, if you do have to work this week, sorry. Hope you have some fun friends to make fun of all this stupid customers that are rushing out to buy turkeys last minute and trying to get a 25-cent TV on Black Friday. Anyways, enjoy this episode. If you're a younger listener and you're not as aware of the Kevin Smith View Askewniverse, check out these old silly movies. They're fun. And if you're our age and you grew up with these, then this will be a wonderful blast from the past. So enjoy our season 2, episode 1, Notmentary, and tune in next week for, hopefully next week, if, you know, things calm down, we're able to record as normal. Enjoy our upcoming episode of season 2, episode 5, Commentary. And if you would like more of us, please check out our Patreon. We have a patreon.com/thankthelight, where we do not talk about the Wheel of Time, because we want that all to be here for free. If you would like to help support us with just a couple dollars a month, we will thank you with a exclusive episode just for you, where we talk about a different fantasy movie. Right now we have, I just released The Princess Bride. We have the new Dungeons and Dragons Honor Amongst Thieves movie. And next we're going to be recording Beastmaster very soon. And if you would like to pick one of our movies, sign up for Patreon and let us know. Enjoy this Notmentary.
What follows is the fabled lost pilot to Clerks. Originally planned to air May 31st, 2000, it was lost on the test audience who hated it and was eventually lost under a pile of unaired Wonderland and Wasteland episodes. Unfortunately, someone found it, and now you're going to have to watch it. Tune in next week for a much better episode. For now, though, courage.
Previously on
The Wheel of Time. Everyone, we're working out the details on our commentary situation, so we're just going to jump right in so we can at least get one of these done. In theory, you're listening to the intro for the commentary for episode one and episode two. Definitely episode one, Taste of Solitude. We're super excited. I have not rewatched much
of season two. You know, I've had it on the background here and now, here and there. But this is going to be my first like real, like solid rewatch of season two. So I'm super excited.
Yeah, same.
And as soon as Jeremy gets back, I'm going to press play. All right. We're going to watch the previously on just to help us get synced up. So I'm going to hit play right now on Justin and Mines, and Jeremy, you can try to figure out how to get in on this. Got it.
Empire had the better ending. I mean, Luke gets his hand cut off, finds out Vader's his father, hand gets frozen, taken away by Boba Fett. It ends on such a down note. I mean, that's what life is, a series of down endings. All Jedi had was a bunch of Muppets.
There was something else going on in Jedi. I never noticed it till today. They build another Death Star, right?
Yeah.
Now, the first one was completed and fully operational before the Rebels destroyed it.
Luke blew it up. Give credit where credit's due.
And the second one was still being built when they blew it up.
Compliments of Lando Calrissian.
Something just never sat right with me that second time around. I could never put my finger on it, but something just wasn't right.
And you figured it out.
The first Death Star was manned by the Imperial Army. The only people on board were stormtroopers, dignitaries, Imperials.
Basically.
So when they blew it up, no problem. Evil's punished.
And the second time around?
The second time around, it wasn't even done being built yet. It was still under construction.
So?
So a construction job of that magnitude would require a hell of a lot more manpower than the Imperial Army had to offer. I'll bet they brought independent contractors in on that thing. Plumbers, aluminum siders, roofers.
Not just Imperials, is that what you're getting at?
Exactly. In order to get it built quickly and quietly, they'd hire anybody that can do the job. Think the average stormtrooper knows how to install a toilet main? All they know is killing in white uniforms.
Oh, they're showing it. They're showing her warming the bathtub because she's about ready to heat it with a candle. There will be no more dragging the finger along the water to make Lan's water warmer. Oh.
Lan's going to have to make his water warm by himself.
How does he do that?
He goes wee-wee.
Oh, gross. I'll warm it up.
Thankfully, there's plenty of women who are just sitting around waiting.
Hey, who's that guy? Is that guy even in the show anymore? Who is that guy?
No. There's plenty of Aes Sedai's waiting around to lick Lan clean.
I don't know. No shit. Thirsty old ladies.
You know what I noticed? Lan whispers all of his lines.
Oh, that's because he's brooding.
I'm so emo, babe.
Oh, God.
That's his stoicness.
I've been watching Bruce Willis movies through the whole offseason.
Nah, dude, Canal Reeves, bro. You killed my dog.
Oh, they're shaking. They're doing the shake.
I'm thinking I'm back. Oh, fish flop.
Uno!
Uno! Fucking Pod and Fane. That dude is the darkest of friends. That guy's a fucking asshole.
Whoa. Oh, Matt's gone forever.
And no more Barney. There's meandering.
Meandering.
That's my new favorite thing, actually.
She's just meandering.
God, dude, Rand's wig in season one. It's tough.
So bad.
So bad. Looks like something out of like Diary of a Wimpy Kid or something.
God, no wonder this episode's so long. They showed us this is like the fan edit. Are they just showing us the fan edit?
I know, man. I hope that he catches up because he's getting into the fan edit already. I was going to have him talk about it. Something must have came up.
Episode starts proper now. We're zooming in slowly over the star-shaped house. And we're zooming in the puckered starfish. We're hovering over the top.
Okay, buddy.
And we're in. Oh, and then we're watching the little girl. All right. Who do we see here under the table?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Well, that was Suroth.
That's Suroth for sure.
Who's that? Is that just a black Aja? Do they rock black?
Yeah, that's probably Ingtar.
Is that
Ingtar, or maybe one of the cats that they find dead?
Who's the bird? Who's got the bird symbol on their kilt?
That's probably Ingtar.
Yeah, probably Ingtar. Or
you just said Ingtar was three people. How many Ingtars are there?
No, Ingtar was when they came across. They said that's probably Ingtar.
The only problem with this being Telen and Riad is why is there this little girl there?
Yeah, and how did she get there?
Exactly. I mean, Ishmaels can do stuff like that, but. That's my only issue with it.
Were you just confused all season? You're like, when's that little girl going to come back, Des? I don't understand.
God damn it.
What's up with that fucking baby?
I think that's the same baby. I think it's a magic baby. It's 1,000 years later, and that baby is 8 and a half.
It's in Telen Ran Riad, bro. It can be anything you want. Ishi is so, I mean, I love it. Dude, Ferris is so good. He's just Ishmael. He's so awesome. I feel like he's just like a real major, major bright spot on this show. Also, Jeremy, I did say something. I saw something that was like Randy Jeffcoat said that he will neither confirm or deny that there's 8 Forsaken. So I'm guessing that that's hinting at Moradin.
It could also mean he's just going to make something up.
You're such an asshole.
Willem!
Did I give you a poopy trip? Brody, man, what's going on? What, do you work here now?
Oh, man, just hanging with T.S.
Oh, T.S.
Willem, what exactly are you doing?
Looking for the hidden picture.
If you stare at these things long enough, you're supposed to see some kind of hidden three-dimensional picture.
Oh, yeah, look, it's a sailboat.
You saw it too? Damn it!
What?
I've been staring at this thing for a week now, from opening till closing, and I can't see a goddamn thing!
You gotta relax your eyes.
Everyone sees this thing except me. But today's my day. I brought a lunch and a soda, and I'm not gonna leave until I see the sailboat everyone keeps talking about.
So, Willem, would you happen to know what this stage business is all about?
It's not a stage! I'm gonna see it if I have to go blind trying.
No, man, this stage over here.
Oh, that thing? Having some game show in the mall today. I think it's gonna be on TV. It's called Truth or Date or something.
Oh my God, that's Brandy's father's game show.
What is it?
Oh, it's this cheesy dating game ripoff thing. It's supposed to be for college kids. It's just trying to capture the 90s youth market with a staple of 70s television.
Man, why can't they bring back or remake good shows like BJ and the Bear? Now, there's a concept I can't get enough of, a man and his monkey.
Moraine heating water like a fucking dolt.
Yeah, how'd that water get hot?
She put...
It was on a kettle. It was... She was...
Was it on a kettle? Okay. There's a
fire. Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is good because she's like literally trying to like... I mean, I see this as something deeper. She's literally like trying to wash away like what she used to be because she thinks that she's not an Aes Sedai anymore. I think she really believes that she can't channel anymore.
Well, obviously she does.
I mean,
she doesn't know she's blocked or she doesn't know that the weave is tied off.
Right.
It takes her warder to tell her.
Which is weird.
Because he heard a rumor.
Well, no, I think, you know, he still has some, I feel like he still exhibits some of the things that are, you know, get some of the strength from the power, you know, the bond. And he can still feel the bond, even it feels like it's mass. It doesn't feel like it's gone. And they never come out and say it, but they allude to that a lot.
Hey, everybody on movieguide.com, cover your eyes. I see shoulders.
It's very inappropriate.
What'd you say, Desmond?
This seems very inappropriate. There's shoulders and knees being shown and a long neck. My thought was that was her unmasking the bond because when Ishmael...
he does, but you guys are arguing oranges and oranger oranges.
No, because rebonding would insinuate that they have to redo the bond. Letting me back in, she was not still, but she was shielded when her bond was masked. So she would have to unmask it once she could channel again.
I'm going to have to rewatch that scene because I'm almost...
Hey, Jeremy, you're in luck. Cause
go ahead, Des.
You're in luck because you know what we're going to be doing for the next month? Rewatching this show. Oh, everyone, by the way, the Wheel of Time season one. Place for Solitude is still... is it A Place for Solitude? What the hell is this called? Salute to Solitude? A Taste of Solitude.
Taste of Solitude, season 2, episode 1.
You said season 1.
Yeah, it does. You said season
1. Oh, Jesus Christ. Season 2, episode 1. I'm still going to call it the Salute to Solitude.
And we going to get respect by any means necessary.
Come on. That's a bunch of horse shit. And no, Calrissian was a black guy, you know. You got to fly the Millennium Falcon. What's the matter with you?
Who said that?
I did.
Fuck Lando Calrissian, Uncle Tom. Only some white boy got to invoke the Holy Trilogy. Bust this. Those movies are about how the white man keeps the brother man down, even in a galaxy far, far away. You got Cracker Farm Boy Luke Skywalker, Nazi poster boy, blonde hair, blue eyes. And then you got Darth Vader. The blackest brother in the galaxy, Nubian God.
What's a Nubian?
Shut the fuck up. Vader, he's a spiritual brother, you know, down with the Force and all that good shit. Then there's Cracker, Skywalker. Gets his hands on a lightsaber, and the boy decides he's gonna run the fucking universe. Gets a whole clan of whites together. And they gonna bust up Vader's hood, the Death Star. Now what the fuck do you call that?
Intergalactic Civil War?
And Jedi's the most insulting installment. Because Vader's beautiful black visage is sullied when he pulls off his mask to reveal a feeble, crusty old white man. They trying to tell us that deep inside, we all wants to be white.
Well, isn't that true?
Oh, here we go. Dirty water scene. This is their choreography.
I actually do like this scene. This is shows how like how Nynaeve is just this is Nynaeve's personality.
Well, we got to show. I mean, because we do need our heroes to learn how to do this, and they are starting out in Aes Sedai 101. Like, even though, you know, they've got some natural power, like, we do need to show them. We do need to. This is the Rocky montage scene. Like, you can't just fight Drago cold.
Right. And you can't just have the audience not. You have to give some magic mechanics because it's still all over the place.
You know, one thing they did get right from the books. God, Nynaeve is a pain in the ass.
Yeah, seriously.
Jesus Christ. She is. Oh, this.
She gets a good arc if they do it right.
Here we go. Nynaeve's going to drink the dirty water. Here we go. Wait for it. And cheers.
So real quick, without getting too spoilery, there are 1, 2, 3 at least Black Aja in this scene. And my theory on the Black Aja who is at the Dark Friend Social, look at Shiriam's dress. Look at the scroll work on the dress. I'm just saying that when you see the close-up of the dress, it's got kind of like a beady pattern, kind of like hers. So
I'm sorry, I was adjusting my volume too. They're talking about just how powerful Nynaeve is.
Yeah, and then talking about how she's basically hasn't channeled since she came to the tower because she's been able to get, hey, Marcus, look how closed his mouth is. So cool. I was listening to some of our other episodes. And I was talking about how Marcus Rutherford's mouth was open the whole time, the whole first season. I was just like, oh, I think Loial looks much cooler this season. Like, he looks much more legit.
I think Perrin looks cool. I don't know why. Perrin just looks, I don't know.
He's not so mopey. Like, truly, he's smiling. He gets to do, like, literally his first season, he moped a lot. Even the character, Marcus Rutherford, I saw an interview with him, and he made a comment of it. He was just like, you know, Perrin just kind of was sat in the corner all first season. So I'm excited to get to do something.
So it's 7 months later, and these guys have just been roaming the countryside.
They've been chasing after Pod and Fane.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Dude, Jeremy, I was listening to one of our old episodes, and is he gone again?
He's back. He's back.
No.
I don't know what's going on. My AirPods keep disconnecting.
But you made a comment, Jeremy. It's like, oh, you know, he would have made a, you know, Guy Roberts would have made a great Gaidel Kaan.
Yeah, I know. I heard what you said about Gaidel Kaan.
No, you said that.
No, I heard what you said about the what's his face, Rafe Judkins saying he is Gaidel Kaan. Didn't you say that?
Right. I think so. I haven't found if that's like a yes thing or if it's in like a wink, wink, maybe. But back on one of our first,
did he say that?
I can't remember right now, man. I'm super tired. I think he said someone asked him in like a Q&A thing. I think I can't remember, but
Elias,
used like in one of the first episodes you were on. We were talking about, you know, Guy Roberts is great, and I was like, oh, he would have been a good Samael, you know, for a headcanon for me. And you're like, oh, he would have been a great Gaidel Kaan because he's, you know, kind of short, and
he's a short dude, yeah.
Yeah, it was funny because I was like, oh, man, I think that might actually end up being true. So Perrin seeing that little vision, would we agree that when he sees Pod and Fane when they first get to Faldar out of the way gate, that's his wolf sense? Like, that was another thing that I had talked about.
Yeah.
Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. No, this is definitely his wolf sense.
No, I don't think that. What do you mean? No.
Yeah. In episode 7, he's walking down the street and they just got out of the way gate. No, it's in Faldara. They got out of the way gate and they're getting into the town. And he kind of sees like one of those kind of ghostly visions. And he's like, I could have swear I just saw Pod and Fane. And they're like, Pod and Fane's dead.
I thought that was when they were Tar Valon, dude.
No.
Well, either way, he's starting to smell things. I don't think.
But it's that same sort of kind of like ethereal kind of like vision-y type thing. And I think that I would say like, yeah, that's how his like wolf vision and sense and like how he can smell or sense, you know, things that have happened. I would say that that's exactly. He basically felt, saw, smelled Pod and Fane on that street a day before or whatever.
I don't remember it looking like ethereal though.
Yeah, yes, 100%. Not as much as that, but yes.
I'm going to go back and watch it while you guys keep watching the show.
I know we talked about it, but I don't remember it being ethereal either.
Maybe it's not as ethereal, but I was just my thought like, oh, maybe he's like sensed him. I want to live in this place, actually. This place is the shit. Fucking, you notice those are persimmon trees, pear trees.
Those are tomatoes.
No, I know those are tomatoes, but the first ones they walk by, I think, were persimmons. They're orange.
I gotta get like, I want to make my tomatoes like that.
Cherry tomatoes that are huge.
I have cherry tomatoes that are huge, but they don't look as pretty as that. I mean, they do look as pretty, but not how they have the trellis and everything. I gotta do that.
We also don't have like a whole movie crew to like make a garden for 6 months either.
No, you're right. Okay, Pottenfane's walking out of the way gate by himself.
I'm talking about when they're in the street. He's walking down the street.
Yeah, if you look at 21 minutes, 41 seconds, he walks out of the way gate.
I'm not going to do that.
Should.
Because we're watching episode one, season two.
This is why I'm right all the time, because I go back and confirm what I'm thinking.
Oh, God. You know what? I got your fucking ass. I can't wait to do the Princess Bride Patreon, dude. I got something for you, motherfucker.
Bale Doman's about ready to get fucking snaked.
Unless I'm wrong, and I'm never wrong.
I forget this transaction is takes the whole episode.
I know. He got there like a day and a half ago. He got there while Moraine was filling her bath.
Do you think that they're just going to make him a traitor and not a ship captain?
No, because he's just talking about being on a boat right now, isn't he?
Don't think so.
I mean, so far, you know. Fucking... Well,
if we were watching this episode instead of season one, episode six.
Seven. It's episode seven.
Hey, you know what's ethereal in Jeremy's mind? Season two is ethereal.
What are you drinking?
Fucking Monster. It's 10 o'clock at night. I'm drinking Monster energy drinks.
I thought you gave up caffeine.
No.
Oh, only for about the first 8 months of this podcast. And then he got back on it.
Yeah, I've been back on.
He's all, now I got to put it right in my veins.
We're lucky he didn't get some harder.
It led to way too much sugar. I got to have some kind of drug in me. Getting rid of nicotine gave me too much sugar. And I just gave up nicotine again. So that's why the caffeine is flowing hard.
Were you doing Zins or were you actually smoking again?
I was smoking occasionally, but mostly chewing the gum.
Did you guys catch that there's a Tarvelin, got the phlegm of Tarvelin on the back of the gold piece?
Oh, it did?
Yeah, it's got a face on it too. I'm assuming probably the Emerald Sea, but I don't know which one. Probably Swan Sanchi. Oh, yeah, she's telling him onto the city, sail east or west.
Oh, yeah, go back to your boat. She just said go back to your boat.
Oh, Spray's a riverboat. Hey. He said Spray. That's the name of his boat in the books. Until it gets destroyed, but that makes me feel like he's going to be a much bigger part. You know, he's going to have another part to play at some point. So that's cool. One of her warders is a dark friend. Which one is it? I feel like one of them is a dark friend.
No, why would they be a dark friend?
I don't know. I just don't trust Pretty Boy.
How can you even be sure what incurs the Lord's wrath these days? Times change. I remember when eating meat on a Friday was supposed to be a hell-worthy trespass.
The major sins never change. And besides, you know, I can spot a commandment breaker from like a mile away. So, oh, bet on it.
This is from the guy who still owes me $10 over that bet about which was going to be the bigger movie, E.T. or Crush Groove.
You know what? Fuck you, man, because time's going to tell on that one. What are you, insinuating that I don't have what it takes anymore?
Insinuating? No. Flat out telling you.
Right there. There's one.
So, they're kissing.
Adultery?
Adultery. You are just a simple creature.
Am I right or what?
Well, I happen to know the truth, but I'm not going to tell you. I want to see how boned up on the job you are. What's your proof?
He's wearing a wedding band.
And it never occurred to you that maybe she's his wife.
No married man kisses his wife like that.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's a good thing you were never the deciding member on a jury, is all I'm saying. No married man kisses his wife like that. Are you stoned?
Excuse me, are you married?
Why?
Well, I'm just curious.
What do you think? What?
To her?
What?
Are you married to her?
Not that it's any of your fucking business, but no. Why?
I know, I just got the text, so fuck both of you guys.
Jeremy's right again. Does it bother you, Justin? I mean, it's got to bother you eventually. You're constantly wrong.
What's that, Humperdinck?
Humperdinck.
Unless I'm wrong, and I'm never wrong. I lost again, Luz Theron, Luz German.
So we can all agree now that it wasn't ethereal, that it wasn't a smell sensing?
It was still smell.
I agree. It was totally smell. Like, he's like...
You're a smell.
You're a smell.
You're a smell.
I was like, if the camera flips around and he's gone, it's ethereal. But the camera flips around and sure enough, you see the back of Pod and Fane's head.
Yeah, he kind of disappears in the crowd. I remember now. This is a pretty funny conversation. I mean, it's fucking dumb, but it makes me. Yeah, she's eating a pomegranate right now. Like, she's eating a pomegranate like it's a fucking apple, though. It's weird.
I know. You're like,
there's nothing but seeds in there.
She'd be like, I gotta chew this stuff like a cow. Like, is it? You can't break it down.
She's literally just eating one at a time. And you know, I'm sorry. Have any of you? Yeah, and Desmond, I know you have. Her fucking fingers and her face would be pink.
That is absolutely true.
Her whole fucking hand would be pink as fuck, dude. It's so dumb. I mean, it's fucking funny, but it's like, what the fuck? It's ridiculous. Igwene's like, no, that's not.
Are they just hammering home, like, you know, that greens are DTF?
Yeah. Well, Alana, it is.
I mean, yes, but there's subtext, you know. It's like right now, fucking, she's saying that, you know, Egwene's frustrating right now because all people say right now is, you're doing so good, but there's, you know, 90 is 10,000 times stronger than you. And so she's frustrated and she's literally not focusing on, you know, where she's headed because she's ahead of the game.
I lost my GarageBand too, Des, so you're going to have to take the audio off of Zoom. Sorry.
Okay, no worries. No worries. Relax, man. Enjoy your evening. Oh, fucking meandering. Fucking just meanders in.
She does. You know what? She does just meanders in, got the hand behind the back. She's like, what's up, 90s? What's up, buddy? What's happening? How you doing?
So they kind of took this from the books, sort of this scene that's about to happen. It doesn't happen between the two of them. It happens between Nynaeve and Swan Sanchez, but it's kind of like it.
This is a little bit more dark, I'd say, a little bit more, you know. It's obvious in the book that her and Swan are having like a bit of a battle of wills, but this is a little bit more like, you know, she's like, I don't want it to be a fair fight. I want to win, you know, and, you know, she just... Leander just has a more sinister, and it could be the jaw, you know, she's got more of a sinister kind of feel to her.
Is this her version of forcing Nynaeve to channel? Like, is this the conversation of like,
I think so.
They sent a, yeah.
Ooh. Well, like Jeremy pointed out.
Well, that's not very nice.
I know that is not very nice. God, Kate Fleetwood is just awesome.
Ooh.
That's one of the things I'm very happy about. Like, her character being expanded is really awesome because she is so good.
So we just showed, so this is the difference between how green warders, green Aes Sedai get off by having two warders that get them off, or red Aes Sedai get off by fucking with people, because Leandrin is wet right now.
Her cheeks are a little rosy.
She was, when she was up in that corner getting channeled, she was like, her eyes rolled back in the good way.
Pretty sure if you watch her after she...
Unlimited power!
Yeah, she definitely channels her inner fucking palps right there.
Do it!
Do it!
She's like, yeah, give in to your anger, dude. Pretty sure if you watch Leander, look, she looks a little staggered. Like she was obviously, did you see how she kind of staggered right there?
Yeah.
And she's walking away. She obviously, you know, Nynaeve is strong, you know, for her to be untrained and be able to shield her, but it was still took a lot out of her. You notice how the burial is kind of like in the first season?
I was just going to say always with the circular burial grounds.
I think that's like a borderland thing, like Shannaran thing, borderland thing. Because I think Steppen was a borderlander.
Well, we've seen it like three times with all kinds of different people. I think that's just...
Is that the third one? Because I know that the one after the battle, when they tried to free Loghain, they had them all in a circle. And then they just did that. I think I was reading somewhere. It's like, I think it's a borderland thing. It might just be a Shannaran thing, but I think it's a borderland thing. Because what's his face? Steppen was a borderlander. And I think that was part of it. Or maybe Kareen. Kareen was Arathelan, I believe. So that's Borderlander too.
Yeah, Layla's dark.
That's one thing Justin called from the very beginning.
I feel like that can't be like a throwaway line. They can't have just done that by accident.
Well, it's not even that. It's when Elias later on says she's not part of your pack, or she wasn't part of your pack.
Oh, that's a good point too.
What is his accent? Yes, make it yourself. You can eat your dinner off my asshole. It's what you can do.
Hey, you know, in the words of, Jeremy Todd Henley, you're the Eagles expert. You can eat your lunch all by yourself.
You can eat your dinner all by yourself. Eat it, eat it, eat it.
Oh, yeah, and we're back to... Oh, that's right. So, see, it's been a year. I know we talked about this before. I keep saying 7 months. It's been a fucking year. It's candle.
Well, it's been a year since the very beginning, the very first episode.
Yeah, they were on that. The whole first season was 10 days.
Yeah, that was Winter Night or whatever.
That first season was 10 days.
Or Beltane.
Right?
What? No.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, that's right. At one point, we did see it 2 months later. That's right.
Yeah, it took them a long time.
Never mind. You win.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
Oh, what the fuck happened to this world? There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
You know what? Maybe we should start calling your friend Padme, because he loves Mannequin Skywalker so much, right? Danger, danger. My name is Anakin. My shitty acting is ruining saga.
Yeah, you're crazy, Jar Jar.
Jeremy, I believe this is your line.
What?
They don't have to do anything.
Oh, yeah, that's true. They don't have to do anything.
You guys are the worst.
Oh, I'm crazy? Those fucking Hobbit movies were boring as hell. All it was a bunch of people walking. Three movies of people walking to a fucking volcano. Here's the first movie, and here's the second movie.
He is way off, loser.
You ready for the third movie? Even the fucking trees walked in those movies. Okay.
You know what? I've had enough of you. Your simplistic analysis of the trilogy aside.
Oh, hey, real quick. Now that we're on the subject, Sammy Biddington, our new Patreon, also was on Discord this afternoon. What do y'all think of Min and Rand's relationship in the books while they get together in the show? My two cents from a woman's perspective is that Min only exists for Rand in the books. She serves little other purpose. It was always irritating to me. I love these books, but I wonder if instead of Min ending up with Rand in the show, it will be a Gwen.
Ooh.
I think I would like to see that play out.
Wait, Min ends up with a Gwen?
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, it's possible they could do that. But why? Like, there's nothing. They haven't done anything.
Yeah, that to me, I...
To establish that. And they've talked about bringing the Gawain in, too. I think that they're going to do Gawain.
I think Min's going to end up with Matt.
I think so. I mean, they also... Min ends up being a kind of like a right-hand person to the Empress of the Shangchan once Matt... Too many spoilers to get into, but I think they're setting up like a Matt and Min kind of reunion. Maybe not necessarily in like a relationship aspect, but I don't see... I mean, I can't disagree with that statement because, you know, this.
My daughter said the exact same thing about Min in the first few books. She's like, I don't know what she's there for.
You got to have a prophet.
Well, she becomes, well, I mean, I think she's important. If she's not there, then someone else has to be kind of Rand's like conscious, you know, because.
Yeah. She centers him like later on, like as he starts to lose it.
Yeah. You know, Min keeps Rand human. Min keeps Rand human.
For as long as she can.
Yeah. Min is Rand's Padme, for lack of a better, you know, until it goes bad.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
My name is Rand, and I am a human. Well, and he's going to need, after Lanfear fucked him over, he's going to need someone to make him trust anybody again.
Lan looks like he's just been crying for hours. His eyes are all puffy and red. It's like, Rand doesn't want to be my friend.
You said that.
Rain doesn't want to be my friend.
Why is she not my friend no more? I made so many cootie catchers for her.
Oh, God. Would you say cootie catchers? Oh, my God.
Does Moraine love me? 9th point to no.
Oh, check yes or no.
Come on, Moraine. Let's play MASH again.
God, you know what? I never noticed. He literally whispers all his fucking lines.
You'll never be able to not see it now. I've ruined it.
It's kind of killing me right now. It's kind of killing me right now. So many things.
Oh,
again, I maintain I want to live there.
Yeah, no, that's like an Italian, like it, to me, it looks like an old Italian villa.
What you can't see is right around the corner, there's like prosciutto hanging and like
some salamis.
Some salami, yeah.
Hey, where are you going to get that? Huh?
We're going to get Coca-Cola Seattle. Fucking everywhere, Anthony. Fucking everywhere. So many places, dude. Stop it. There's a Patreon story, bro.
Now you're alligator ragu. Now that's tough to come by. But prosciutto, we've heard of prosciutto.
Prosciutto, every restaurant in Seattle, even the bad ones.
Fucking, oh, God bless me. That's why I married my wife, fucking Anthony. That's where I met my wife.
That's right. You guys met there, didn't you?
Yep.
That's actually where I took my wife on our first date.
Fuck yeah. Casa Italia, Roosevelt, baby.
I'll never forget Anthony, one of the like times like cooking and this guy walks in. He's like, oh man, you know, I gotta catch a flight, you know, in like 30 minutes or some shit. I don't know, whatever. A short amount of time. He's like, what can I get real fast? And it was like a Friday night. And Anthony goes like, oh, here's what you do. Go out and get in your car. Go down, hang a left. Go down the street. There's a McDonald's right there. You can get some Big Macs on your way to the airport. I'll never forget. It was like, I was like, ah, oh, dude, that's pretty gangster. I was like, and the guy was just like, go to McDonald's? He's like, yeah, get out.
I got to watch this scene.
I think this is an aspect that they just crushed.
Moraine. So that's right. So Lan went to give her her dinner and she was gone, right?
Yeah. Where the fuck is she going, by the way?
She can't scare Lan away, so she's going to leave.
Can't scare Scallywag away.
Scallywag Bumbadook. What?
I'm crazy with this razor. With this crazer, I'm crazy. With this crazer, I'm crazy.
She's about to get crazy with her razor.
Oh.
That was pretty fucking cool. Jeremy, tell us why that was terrible.
I don't like the fact that they can't talk. The merger all should be able to talk. They just scream.
What are they talking about? Are they going to give her a fucking bread recipe?
That would be nice. Merge all bread.
Yeah. Oh.
So did we decide how many fades were in this scene? So there are two dead ones.
That's number three.
So there's two more right there. So there's four, right? I mean, I thought that the way they did the fades in this is, it's really how, it's one of the things that, you know, headcanon from the books that you kind of have to imagine. Exactly how I imagined them kind of fighting. Well, aside from the biting, but the how they, you know, they see, have like a snake-like grace, you know, the way they move and the way they move from shadow to shadow. And it's pretty cool.
Get up.
And you don't use your sword to get up, dude.
Get up.
It's not a quarterstaff. Use the other blade.
I forget how fucked up he gets.
He gets like cut quite a few times.
Yeah. Oh.
So Lan killed two.
I think there's five.
She's going to use her force powers to throw the sword to him.
Okay, so that's green-ish. So why did Moraine have the power surrounding her? That was, what's her name, just sending a little power her way for energy?
Yeah, I don't know. I thought that was like, they were probably pulling some...
Yeah, they were just trying to make it look like, oh, she's got her power back. Oh, no, she doesn't.
Green is earth, right? I thought green was like an earth power, so...
All right, everybody, credits! Written and television by Amanda Rafe, Lee Judkins, Robert Jordan,
Randy Lucius Schaeferkins.
We're gonna just talk over this.
I'm not even supposed to be here today!
I'm not even supposed to be here today.
I'm not even supposed to be here today.
I'm not even supposed to be here today.
Yo no debo estar aquí. Ahora.
I'm not even supposed to be here today.
I'm not even supposed to fucking be here to fucking day, fucks.
Oh! Oh, shit. I thought this was the police. I'm not even supposed to be here.
By the power of Grayskull, I'm not supposed to be here today!
I am not even supposed to be here today.
I'm not even supposed to be here today.
I'm not even supposed to be here today.
But can you Pacino that shit?
Ooh-ah.
Warlord! When will I see the goddamn sailboat?
I'm not even
supposed to be here
today!
I'll fuck anything that moves.
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 Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
Wow, a sailboat.
Shut up.
What's a new band? Bitch, you almost made me laugh.
If Peter Jackson really wanted to blow me away with those Rings movies, he would have ended the third one on the logical closure point, not the 25 endings that followed.
What's the logical closure point?
Yeah, friend, enlighten us.
Whose house? Run's house. I said, whose house? Run's house. Whose house?
Say what?
Run's house.
Say what?
Martin. Martin. How y'all
been? Well, and this is the final episode of Thank the Light. So